You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Thank you. Please be seated. Okay, let's go on the record on KCR 22211623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. Continuing with the state's case in chief, we had a witness on the stand, Ms. Heidemann, yesterday that I believe will be continuing with testimony today. I'll note that the prosecutors are present as well as the defendant and defense counsel. Is the state ready to proceed with further evidence this morning?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is the defense ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, let's go ahead and have the jurors brought in, please.
Oh, okay. I won't touch it. Thank you.
All right. The jury is present and accounted for.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. All right. Good morning, everyone. We're on the record on KCR 22211623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. The state is present. Ms. Blake was conducting direct of the witness yesterday and will be continuing with the same witness this morning. Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll note also the defense is present as well, the defendant and counsel, Mr. Pryor. The court will note, again, there is a courtroom conduct order in effect, and I appreciate those in attendance adhering to the terms of that courtroom conduct order. We did have a few members of the public yesterday that were not permitted to re-enter the courtroom later in the afternoon for not complying with that. Again, today it will be in effect, and I appreciate everyone in the audience here following those admonitions in that order. In addition, I'll note that this trial is being live streamed. We are showing that directly through the court's official channel, which is the best signal if anyone is following the trial through that for public access. And no, we did confirm that the signal coming through off the court's website has the best quality if anybody's interested in following it that way. A few other things. I'll note that the jurors are all present today. The court has received the declarations or acknowledgments that they followed the court's admonishing instructions. And so all are present and seated, and I appreciate you continuing to follow the court's admonition at the conclusion of trial each day. Ms. Heidemann's on the stand at this point and is still under oath for testimony. And I will just inquire to make sure you didn't do anything to go back and review or look at any other testimony before returning today. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Okay, thank you. So we'll conclude or continue then with direct examination of the witness. And as you testify, Ms. Blake and Ms. Heidemann, please talk right into the microphone so we get a good, clear audio. And with that in mind, you can continue with your direct, Ms. Blake.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. Heidemann, we left off yesterday going through phone attribution. But just since we had a break, will you remind the jury where you're employed?
The Federal Bureau of Investigation.
And what is your job title?
Tactical Specialist.
And in assisting with this investigation regarding the missing children, did that investigation ultimately expand into more than just missing children?
It did.
And what did it expand to include?
Into the deaths of Charles Vallow, J.J. Vallow, Tylee Ryan, Tammy Daybell, and shooting attempts of Brandon Boudreaux and Tammy Daybell.
And as part...
Tammy, yes.
As part of your role in the investigation, were you tasked with looking at some Google searches done in association with a Gmail associated with Chad Daybell and a Gmail address associated with Lori Vallow?
Yes.
And did you, in fact, look at some searches that were conducted by both of those two?
Yes.
Or their emails?
Their email accounts, correct.
And in looking through those, did you focus on a specific time date?
Yes.
And what was that?
From October 2018 through January 2020.
And was it a similar time frame that you looked at in the phone attributions as well?
Yes.
In looking through those searches, did you prepare an exhibit today?
Yes.
And did you prepare that exhibit based off your searches and what you reviewed in relation to the evidence or discovery?
Yes, I did.
Do you believe that that would assist in your testimony today?
Yes.
And do you believe it would assist the jurors in understanding as well?
I do.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be shown what's been marked as State's Exhibit 184A. I do have a copy for the court. I gave counsel a copy yesterday. Similar to the exhibit yesterday, there is actually a thumb drive that contains this actual exhibit, but these are printout slides from a PowerPoint.
Okay.
Sir. And if you could look at those pages, is that an accurate depiction of the PowerPoint that you put together?
It is.
And when we look at that, we talked about the time frame that you focused on. During the time you were looking at these searches, were the children still missing?
Yes.
And in part of what you were looking for, were you still focused on attempting to locate the children or learn information about them?
Yes.
Does this accurately reflect a summary of the searches that you pulled out as relevant at that point in time?
Yes.
Do you believe these are still relevant?
I do.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission of State's Exhibit 184A.
Judge, as a summary, there won't be any objection.
All right. 184A is admitted. And again, to be clear, that's not the printed off sheets. That will be the PowerPoint on a file contained on a thumb drive. Correct, Ms. Blake?
Correct, Your Honor.
All right. It is admitted.
And Your Honor, may I publish to the jury?
Yes.
Sorry, my computer is thinking a moment. On this first slide, can you walk us through what we're seeing here?
Yes, this is a summary of search activity of interest observed in an account titled chad.daybell@gmail.com. We started the review on October 1st, 2018 through the end of the production when legal process ended.
And do you recall approximately when that would have been?
I don't remember off the top of my head what the search warrant dates were, no.
Is your recollection that they would have been around the same time as that phone attribution?
Probably pretty close, yes.
So, again, when the children were still missing?
Correct.
And if we look at that first search there, and I say search, let me back up. When we look at the first date there, can you walk us through what those searches were?
Yes. On January 28th, 2019, there was searches for Ned Snyder, 1996 death, Louisiana. Ned Snyder, Louisiana. Ned Snyder, Louisiana, born 1951, died 1996, and bodies possessed after original occupant dies.
And in looking at that, there's some semicolons. Why are those there?
They were separate searches, or the way that the return comes in, it might have been a search and then visiting a site, for example. So I didn't separate out which ones. These just appear in the search history under different times, different searches, but on the same date.
So several searches done on the same date for Ned Snyder.
Correct.
Why did that stick out to you?
That is connected to other portions of this investigation wherein Charles Vallow makes a comment right around this time.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point.
Basis.
Well, it's hearsay, and in addition, Judge, there's no foundation to establish where this witness gained that information. So at the very least, I'd like some foundation. And then in addition, there's also a hearsay argument as well.
Okay. It's sustained on grounds of hearsay, calls for hearsay.
Thank you, Your Honor. As part of this investigation, we talked earlier that originally you get involved in looking for missing children.
Correct.
And at some point that expanded to include other acts.
Yes.
And you mentioned previously that one of those acts was the killing of Charles Vallow.
Correct.
Through your investigation, did you come to learn anything in relation to Charles Vallow and Ned Snyder?
Yes.
What did you learn in relation to the investigation?
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. There hasn't been sufficient foundation to establish how this witness learned of this information as it relates to Charles Vallow.
I will.
Investigation, did you review multiple documents?
I did.
Did you review multiple reports?
Yes.
Did you review phone data that was recovered?
I did.
In your review of reports and phone data, did you learn anything regarding the name Ned Schneider?
I did.
Did you learn of the importance of the name Ned Schneider?
Yes.
And what did you learn regarding the name Ned Schneider?
Judge, again, I'm going to renew my objection on the basis of foundation. The only reference to knowledge was from reports or documents that are unidentified. If this witness is going to start relaying information about what she learned, I would think at least I'd be entitled to know what document she's referring to, where this information was gained from.
Mm-hmm. And Your Honor, may I respond?
Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
Your Honor, I think under the collective knowledge doctrine, she's already talked about it being a joint investigation that she reviewed and discussed the matter. And in relation to hearsay, it's not coming in for the truth of the matter. It's coming in for why she does what she does and why it's relevant to her through the investigation.
I am going to overrule the objection and allow it to be answered at this point with sufficient foundation.
Thank you. What did you learn in relation to the relevance of Ned Schneider and Charles Vallow?
In reviewing police reports from Chandler Police Department and body cam footage, I believe from Gilbert Police Department, Charles Vallow makes comments that his wife, Lori Vallow, was referring to him as variations on the name Ned Schneider. Additionally, the name Ned and variations of the name Ned Schneider appear in Lori Vallow's iCloud accounts, again, in reference to Charles Vallow.
And then there's also one on there, bodies possessed after original occupant dies. What was it about that stood out to you?
The concept of possession is sort of prevalent through this investigation. This is, I believe, the first time we start seeing it, wherein Charles Vallow has become possessed by an entity named Ned. So, again, I spoke yesterday about there being a lot of aliases in this case with Chad and Lori, but also with some of the victims in this case where they are possessed by entities and therefore then being referred to by these names, Ned being one of them for Charles.
And then the next search on there, can you read the date and what that search was?
January 31st, 2019, Ned Schneider, Louisiana, obituary, 1997.
And did that stand out to you for the same reasons you've just explained?
It did.
And then the next one on there, can you read that and what the date and what the search was?
March 6, 2019, June 26th, star sign, are Cancer and Leo compatible? May 4 sign, Taurus and Leo compatible.
And when we're looking at this one, what stood out about this particular search?
Lori Vallow's birthday is June 26th, making her a Cancer. May 4th was Tammy's birthday, making her a Taurus. And Chad Daybell's birthday is August 11th, which makes him a Leo. And then the search of the compatibility between those signs.
And on March 6th of 2019, do you know if Tammy Daybell was still alive?
She was.
And you indicated Chad and Lori had met approximately when?
October 26, 2018.
And looking at the next search, can you read the date and talk a little bit about that one?
May 5th, 2019, malachite and eBay malachite jewelry.
And what stood out about that to you?
Chad and Lori eventually ended up purchasing malachite stone wedding bands.
And again, May 5th, was Tammy still alive?
She was.
What stood out about, or excuse me, on the next one, can you say the date and what that search was?
June 1st, 2019, Hiplos or Iplos.
And what caught your attention with regard to that search?
In reviewing the iCloud data and seeing text messages, it becomes apparent that Hiplos is another entity name for Charles Vallow, replacing Ned.
So both Ned Schneider and Hiplos or Iplos are names associated with Charles Vallow.
Correct.
And on June 1st of 2019, do you know if Charles Vallow was still alive?
He was.
How about the next search, the date in that search?
July 9th, 2019, when you surprise someone with accusations.
What caught your attention in relation to that search?
That search was conducted 2 days before Charles was shot and killed.
And then the next one, the one on September 8th, 2019, if you could talk about that search.
SSW wind, and what is the definition of SSW direction?
What caught your attention with that wind search?
That search occurred the last day of Tylee Ryan's sighting, and we believe she was burned and buried on his property the following day.
When you, and we talked a little bit before, there were other searches in relation to this email. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
In your review of those, were there any other searches for wind direction?
Not that I saw.
So this was not a common search done by or associated with this email address?
No.
And then the last one on there, if you could say the date and what that one is.
October 8th, 2019, Rhode Island area code.
And what was it about this search that drew your attention?
As mentioned yesterday, there were numerous phones involved in this investigation. On October 8th, 2019, the 401 number we spoke about yesterday was activated, which is the 401 is the area code for Rhode Island.
And as you said, we talked about that one yesterday. And is that one that Chad had let Lori know he was going to text her from that 401 number?
That's correct.
And did that occur around this same date?
I believe it was the day after. Yeah, it was. I think there was an issue setting up the actual account. So it was the 9th, I believe, that he texted from his known number to Lori saying he would call from a 401.
And then if we move to the next slide, can you talk a little bit about what we're seeing on this slide?
Again, it's a summary of search activity of interest observed in the lollytimeforever@gmail.com account from March 7th, 2019 through December 14th, 2019.
And that lollytimeforever@gmail, did you determine who the associated user is?
Lori Vallow.
And on this first search, can you talk about what we're seeing there?
May 7th, 2019, malachite.
I think you've already talked about the malachite. I believe you said that's a stone that was originally, that ended up in Chad and Lori's wedding bands or wedding
rings. That's correct, yes.
And when we look at the date there, was that date significant to you?
May 7th?
Well, I guess let me ask it this way. On May 7th, was Tammy still alive?
Yes, both Charles and Tammy were still alive at this point.
And the next search, if you could talk about the date and what that one is.
July 21st, 2019, Gerber Life Policy, Life Insurance for Children, the Grow Up Plan.
And what was it about that search that stood out?
We found it of interest seeing how children were missing and she was searching for life insurance for children.
And to be clear, through the investigation, did we ever or did you ever determine if life insurance had been purchased for the children?
No, we did not.
And to the best of your knowledge, there was no life insurance?
No.
And the next search there and the date?
July 26, 2019, Phoenix Pet Services, Craigslist, Self-Service Dog, Little Angel Service Dogs for Sale, and OfferUp Phoenix.
And there are several searches there.
Correct.
And they appear to be in relation to a service dog.
That's correct.
Why did that stand out to you in this case?
JJ had a service dog at the time, and this search occurred roughly 2 weeks after the death of Charles Vallow. So to attempt to sell a service dog for a child after the death of his father seemed of interest to us.
And again, to be clear, JJ was still alive on July 26th.
He was, yes.
And the next search there?
August 25th, 2019. Wedding bands made of malachite.
And I think we've talked a little bit about this. Did that stand out to you for the same reason?
It did, although at this point, Charles Vallow is no longer alive.
Was Tammy Daybell still alive?
She was.
And the next search?
September 20th, 2019, Kennedy Elementary, Rexburg, Idaho phone number and define possess.
And then if we also look at that next search, can you read the date on that one?
September 24th, 2019, Kennedy Elementary, Rexburg, Idaho phone number.
So for both the September 20th and September 24th, looking at that common search for the Kennedy Elementary phone number, why did that catch your attention?
We believe that JJ died around the 22nd, 23rd. So these searches would have bookended that death.
And do you know where JJ was enrolled in school around the time of his death?
At Kennedy Elementary in Rexburg, Idaho.
And on the 20th, there was that one additional search, define possess. What was it about that that stood out?
Similarly to the first Ned Schneider searches that also included that possession, the concept of possession and deaths sort of going hand in hand was of interest.
And this search occurred 2 to 3 days before, or I guess 2 to 3 days before JJ's last seen alive.
That's correct.
And then if we move down to the September 30th one, can you talk a little bit about that?
How to get the back seat out of my Jeep Wrangler. Jeep Wrangler JK rear seat removal, how to DIY. Yeah. Rear seat removal, how to DIY dash YouTube.
And it looks like there's essentially two searches there.
The way that it's written, it looks like it was probably a search and then clicking on like a YouTube link to show this, okay, if I remember correctly.
And what was it about that that stood out to you?
Tylee Ryan had a Jeep Wrangler as her everyday car. At this point, she is no longer alive, or her last proof of life has passed. On September 30th, well, on October 2nd, Brandon Boudreau is shot at from a Jeep Wrangler, from somebody in the backseat or the rear area of a Jeep Wrangler in Arizona. So the search of how to get the backseat out of my Jeep Wrangler by Lori, who has access to a Jeep Wrangler, Alex Cox is believed to have been the one that attempted to shoot Brandon Boudreau, who would have had access to this Jeep Wrangler. Additionally, on October 2nd, there's a video of a storage unit in Idaho where Chad and Lori are on surveillance video storing a tire, like a spare tire, and what looks like the back seat of a Jeep or some sort of vehicle in a storage unit just a few days after this search.
And then if we move to the next search.
October 2nd, 2019, Gilbert, Arizona News.
What stood out about that search?
Brandon Boudreau was shot at in Gilbert, Arizona on October 2nd.
And then the final search on here?
October 22nd, 2019, wedding dresses in Kauai.
And why did that search or those searches draw your attention?
The search was, again, wedding planning. And then also it's just days after Tammy's death and the same date as her funeral.
And when you say just days after Tammy's death, do you know the day Tammy was pronounced dead?
October 19th, 2019.
So just 3 days after Tammy's death.
Yeah. That's correct.
Oh, that's okay.
And you also indicated this search was done on the same day as Tammy's funeral?
That's correct.
Do you know if Chad and Lori ultimately ended up getting married?
They did.
Do you know approximately when?
In early November.
If I may have just a moment, Your Honor.
Yes.
Your Honor, I have no further questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Mr. Pryor, cross-examination.
Thank you, Judge.
Good morning. Well, I'm not sworn, so I'm tactical specialist is my title. TS, if it's easier.
Mr. Pryor, your microphone's not working.
All right, Judge.
There you go.
Blake pulled one on me here.
Okay. I
turned off the phone. Microphone. So how would you like me to refer to you again? I'm sorry.
Tactical specialist is my title.
Okay. Is there an easier?
TS or?
T.S. Heidemann, would that be fair?
That works, yes.
Okay. So, T.S. Heidemann, it sounds from your testimony that you've spent a considerable amount of time going over the evidence in this case.
That's correct, sir.
And you've familiarized yourself with a variety of topics. Those would include what happened in Arizona, right? Mm-hmm. What happened with Brandon Boudreau?
Correct.
Okay, and what has happened here in terms of the facts and information. You've spent a bit of time, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So you're also aware that Chad Daybell is not implicated criminally in the death of Charles Vallow, Lori Vallow's fourth husband, correct?
That's correct.
And you're also aware that Chad Daybell is not criminally implicated in the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau in where Brandon Boudreau was shot, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So before I get into the gist of what I'm going to talk to you about, I noticed that there's an FBI representative in the court today and that he has been here on a number of occasions watching the testimony. I can't attest to the specific number, but I know he's been here several times. Is that your officer, supervisor, that's here supervising your testimony?
He's not my direct supervisor, but I do work with him, yes.
Okay, so what is he here for?
Observation.
Okay.
Just to observe the...
And at any time prior to your testimony, did you discuss with this FBI person anything you were going to say today, since he's been watching the testimony for several days?
We have not discussed it. And I mean, he's been a part of the investigation for quite a while, so he knows of it, but we haven't discussed in detail what I'm testifying to now.
And I appreciate you saying it that way. When you say he hasn't discussed it with me in detail, what I really want to know is he discussed it with you at all in any regard, in any capacity since this trial started.
Your Honor, I'm going to object on relevance and beyond the scope of direct.
All right. Well, the issue goes to the exclusionary order, and we need to just get to that point, Mr. Pryor, as to whether or not you believe there's been any violation of that.
And in essence, Judge, what I'm asking is whether she's in any regard spoken to that representative of the FBI about this case.
You can ask the question.
That's the question I'm asking, Judge.
About this case, yes, we have spoken about this case.
And when did you speak?
Over the last 4 years, okay. 4.5 years.
Did you speak in the last week during the testimony of this case?
Possibly. I don't remember off the top of my head if we had any other than if I was going to testify or
okay.
Timing.
And what I'm concerned about is this, is that he's not your direct supervisor, right?
That's correct.
And there's no need to report to him, right?
It's a co-situation. I don't necessarily need to report to him, but I do, as a courtesy, I am on his squad, but I have a different direct supervisor. So as a courtesy, I like to let him know if I'm okay. In the office
right.
or not.
And I'm going to move on. I just wanted to actually, part of that was the judge's exclusionary rule and whether or not you folks are communicating about this case. And your answer is maybe a little bit, but not in any significant way, right?
Not in any significant way, not beyond what we've talked about in the last 4+ years, no.
And even though this FBI officer isn't your direct supervisor, you're just talking in general about this case, right?
I can't say in the last week or so if we have or not. Any details? Nothing that stands out, no.
Okay, so you don't remember whether you talked to somebody or not in the last week about a very important case in your life. Is that what you're telling
me? Your Honor, I'm going to object as argumentative and asked and answered.
Sustained.
Okay. Now, you identify that you were looking into attribution information and looking for Google searches as it related to this case, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, you know the circumstances regarding J.J. Vallow's death, correct?
As much as I can.
As much as you can, yeah. Right. And you have an approximate date as to when you believe J.J. Vallow was killed, right?
Correct.
And what date was that?
Well, the last proof of life was September 22nd, 2019 in the morning. We have a photo of that date. So somewhere between then and approximately September 23rd.
All right. So the afternoon of September 22nd until the morning of September 23rd. Correct? Is that fair?
Yeah, morning, early afternoon, correct. Yes.
Morning, early afternoon of September 23rd.
I don't remember the exact time.
Oh, it's
but
okay.
Yes, those time frames.
Well, this is a problem. Our court reporter is never going to be able to keep up when you're talking at the same time and you're both actually doing it. So please wait for an answer, wait for a new question, and don't talk over each other. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So if I... And please don't let me misrepresent your testimony. You believe that J.J. Vallow was murdered the afternoon of September 22nd up until either late morning or sometime early September 23rd, correct?
That's correct.
And at the time, are you aware of the four people who were around J.J. Vallow at that specific time?
What four people? I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. You're aware that J.J. Vallow was allegedly murdered either in an apartment of Lori Vallow's or a close proximity to that. You agree with that, right?
I don't know that we know exactly where he was killed, no.
Okay. But you do know that J.J. Vallow was being watched by Alex Cox that day and that evening of the 22nd, correct?
Partially, yes.
Okay. And you know that Melanie Gibb was there on the evening of the 22nd at Lori Vallow's apartment, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And you know that David Warwick was there on the 22nd on the evening of the day or the day that J.J. Vallow was murdered, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so we have Lori Vallow, correct, on that day?
Yes.
Alex Cox on that day, correct?
Correct.
Melanie Gibb on that day, correct?
Correct.
David Warwick on that day, correct?
Correct.
So I'm having some difficulty with you bringing up these Google searches. And this is why I'm having some difficulty, is you're talking today about searching these peoples and talking about events, and we'll get to these events in a minute. I don't see any Google searches on Melanie Gibb or David Warwick. And why is that?
Your Honor, I'm going to object as argumentative.
Overruled.
Why don't I have any Google search information on Melanie Gibb or David Warwick?
I'm not aware if, I don't know off the top of my head, if any legal process was served on those individuals or not.
Well, and this is what I'm having some difficulty with. This is what I'm struggling with.
Your Honor, objection to the narrative. If he wants to ask a question.
I'll sustain that. Just okay. Questions, Mr. Pryor.
Okay. Well, if David Warwick and Melanie Gibb were present for the murder of J.J. Vallo, why aren't we looking into their Google searches?
I don't actually write the search warrant, sir, so I'm not sure if they were who would have done that.
Okay. But it's common knowledge that they were at least there, right?
For a partial time, yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're also aware as part of your investigation that, and we can discuss when we think this took place, but Chad Daybell and Lori Vallo were having a relationship, correct?
Yes, sir.
And they were engaged in a romantic relationship?
Yes, sir.
And it may have been when Charles Vallo was alive. It may have been after that, but we do know that after Charles Vallo's death, Lori Vallo and Chad Daybell were in a relationship.
That's correct.
And Chad was still married to Tammy Daybell at that time, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When someone's in a relationship and you're looking at Google searches, could some of these Google searches be explained that he's trying to hide his extramarital affair with Lori Vallo?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand that.
Well, let me go over it this way. You saw on 3-6 of 2019, May 6th of 2019, would you like me to put this up so we can look at this? Would that be easier for you?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, now tell me how I operate this. That's going to be a problem.
Which exhibit is this?
Judge, I don't have the number on it. It was what Ms. Blake was just talking to as part of the attribution and the Googles.
That 184A?
I think so.
Okay, 184A, then I'll note, not the PowerPoint, but the printout copy can be displayed to the witness and published for cross-exam.
And please excuse me. At my age, technology is just getting hooked up to Bluetooth is a challenge for me. So we're looking at 3-6 of 2019, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Now, before I start, one of the things I have some difficulty with is we don't know who did these Google searches, right?
Correct. I cannot say that I witnessed Chad Daybell type these into a search bar, but somebody with access to the Chad Daybell account.
So if there was
conducted searches, yes.
Judge, I'll pause. I'm sorry. The next question's already in my head, and it's just getting it to spit out, and I'll try to control myself a little bit. So you put this off of a computer at Chad Daybell's house, right?
I reviewed a search warrant return from Google is what okay. I was looking at, so not the computer directly, no.
So other than the time when Tammy Daybell passed away, are you aware that there were three or four other people who were living in Chad Daybell's house at the time?
I don't know. I think at least one child, but there could have been more. It's possible,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So we don't know who actually did these searches, right?
Or from, I don't know from what device these were searched, no. I mean, it could have been a phone. You could be logging into from different devices, correct?
Okay. So I want to start, and we'll deal with the Ned Schneider ones in a minute here. 3-6-2019. Tammy Daybell's still alive, right?
Yes.
Now, I'm looking at that, and that on 3-6-2019, Chad Daybell was already in this relationship with Lori Vallo, right?
Correct.
So And I don't want you, you don't have to say what you're thinking, but it looks like June 26th star sign are Cancer, Lead compatible and Leo compatible. And also May 4 sign Taurus and Leo compatible. That's what that is, right?
Correct.
And what your testimony said is that it looks like someone's trying to see whether, if we assume that it's Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell in the Cancer and Leo, right? That's what you're sort of implying to this jury, isn't it?
Well, based on the birth dates, May 4th right. and June 26th, correct? Yes.
Okay. And based on the birth dates, May 4th of Taurus and Leo compatible as well, right? On March 6th.
Yes.
So if someone is trying to find out and is involved in an extramarital relationship, and you're Googling whether or not your current spouse or your new girlfriend are compatible, that would be a reasonable explanation, would it not?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then we go back and look at the malachite eBay malachite jewelry on May 5, right?
Correct.
Okay. And if you're talking to someone that you're having an extramarital affair, and they encourage you to say, oh, you know, someday maybe we could be together. I love malachite. And she starts dropping hints. That could be an explanation for that as well, right?
It could, but I believe that Chad's malachite searches were began before Lori's.
Oh, but I understand the searches.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I understand that. But why don't you show me the phone records where they talked about malachite and that Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell discussed the issue of malachite. Did you see any of those?
I can't remember if there are in any text messages or not, but ultimately they purchased wedding bands that were malachite wedding bands, yes.
Okay. Okay. And were you also aware that during this time there was discussion with Alex Cox and Zaluma Pastenez about malachite as well?
I don't remember off the top of my head, no, sir.
Okay. All right. So we don't know whether this search for malachite was a discussion between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, or whether or not it was about Alex Cox and his future marriage to Zaluma Pastenez, right?
Objection, Your Honor. State's facts, not in evidence and argumentative.
Sustained.
Now, the Ned Schneider issue. Again, when was Charles Vallow murdered by Lori Vallow and Alex Cox?
July 11th, 2019.
Okay. So there was a discussion about this, and the first time you ever heard about Ned Schneider was when Charles Vallow brought it up in an audio recording about his wife at the time, correct?
I believe that's correct, somewhere in early January.
And the date of that was when?
I don't have the exact date of the body cam recordings or the police reports, but it's very, I believe it's pretty close to this time frame.
Prior to that time frame, right?
Yeah, right in that general time frame.
Okay. So, and in that general time frame, there was a discussion of Ned Schneider, right?
Yes, sir.
And at that point, it's your position that Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell were involved in an extramarital affair at that point?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you happen to look into the fact that Charles Vallow and Lori Vallow called off their divorce and tried to reconcile their marriage in February of 2019?
I do. Yes, I do remember that. I don't remember the time frame, but that sounds probably pretty close. Yeah.
You don't remember exactly when in February, but they did attempt a reconciliation and basically tried to renew their relationship, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the idea of Ned Schneider, you didn't see anything else in Chad Daybell prior to January 28th of 2019, did you?
Did I see anything with
Ned Schneider and Chad Daybell making any look into what Ned Schneider was all about, right? Prior to this?
This was the first search, at least in this time frame.
Okay.
That Ned Schneider appeared in Chad's Google searches.
Okay. So at that point, we can't make any assumptions, obviously, right?
No.
Okay. But we do know that as far as you're concerned, on the 28th of January, 2019, somehow Chad Daybell learned about the topic of Ned Schneider and decided to do a Google search and see what that was all about, right?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the testimony.
Overruled. You can answer.
I don't know if he learned of it or if he was doing searches. He did searches for various individuals pretty frequently. Right. This is the only one that we found that had connection to other pieces of evidence in the case.
And you just led into my next question, and thank you for doing that. Yeah. Because when I reviewed all of this evidence, I saw that it was not uncommon when a topic came up for someone who was using that computer to do a search on a number of different topics. That would be fair, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if he were to learn about the name Ned Schneider, it would be consistent with his or whoever was using that computer to Google it and see what it was all about. Would that be fair?
Potentially. I can't speak of when he learned that name or if he was searching it like he was a lot of other names. I'm not sure the order of that, no.
But his history shows that there's a lot of inquiry into various names, various topics, and that was something that was going on that computer quite frequently. Hundreds of thousands of searches, right?
Certainly lots of searches, yes.
Right, right. And then we go down to Malachite, and we don't know where he got the name Malachite from, but then he started searching that as well, right?
Correct.
And then he got to Hyplos, and we don't know what the story is on Hyplos, but he typed in that name, so he must have got the name from somewhere and started as that, right?
Correct.
And then you get down to 7/19 of 2019. Now, when you say you surprise someone with accusations, we don't know who typed that in, right?
Again, somebody, I can't say specifically, but somebody with access to the chad.daybell@gmail.com account.
So it could be someone's trying to learn about how you react when a spouse finds out that you're cheating on her, right?
Yes, it could be.
Okay. And we don't know who did the south-southwest wind and what is the definition of that, right?
Again, all I can say is it was somebody with access to that account.
Right. And when you're talking about the day before the accusation is, or the prosecutors claiming that may have been the day that Eileen Ryan was put in the ground on 9/9, but you're also aware that on 9/9, Chad Daybell sent an email to his wife at the time, Tammy Daybell, and said, I'm going to burn some limbs in the backyard the day before, the next day, right?
I believe that text message was sent on the 9th that he said he wanted to burn, limbs, yeah.
Right. So on the 8th, he's checking the wind. And on the 9th, he sends an email to his wife saying, I'm going to burn some limbs in the backyard, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then Rhode Island area code. Now, you don't know what kind of phones we're dealing with. These aren't like track phones, are they? Or do you know what kind of phones these are?
I believe they might actually be track phones.
Go ahead.
No, that's...
Oh, you believe they are all track phones, right?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I mean, so track phone is kind of a provider. So if you're asking, like, is it an iPhone or an Android, I'm not...
Right.
Yeah.
But the track phone, the way that works, and if you don't know, please tell me if you don't have knowledge of this, but the way the track phone works is you buy the phone for a period of 90 days, it expires, and you can either buy another phone rather inexpensively, or you have to buy the adding the minutes thing, and there's no real discernible difference in the cost, right?
Correct. You can keep the phone and change the number, correct?
Right. Or you can just get a different phone and same thing. And you buy that at, I don't want to give anybody publicity, but large retail stores that sell a lot of groceries and other things, right?
Yes.
You know what we're talking about. Okay. So if you're having an affair with somebody and you don't want to get discovered that you're having this affair with another woman while you're still married, it wouldn't be illogical for you to buy a number of phones, and as the phones expire, you just buy another phone to sort of protect yourself from being discovered that you're having this affair. Would that be fair?
Correct. I mean, in this situation, he's not buying phones. It's the same phone. The IMEI number stayed the same on all of them. Right. So the device didn't change, but the phone number did, yes. Okay. Same idea.
So that would be... it's possible that what he's trying to do is he's trying to cover up the fact that he doesn't want to be discovered by his wife that he's cheating on her, right?
Correct.
Okay. And Judge, if I can ask the court again the number for the summary of search activity with Lolly Time with Lori Vallow, what that exhibit was again?
It's 184A.
If I have permission, Judge, may I have permission to publish?
You can publish that page, which is a printed copy of the PowerPoint presentation.
So again, we see the subject of Malachite and whoever is on Lolly Time, whether it's Lori Vallow or whatever, is doing that, correct?
Correct.
Now, this is what is interesting to me on 7/21 of 2019. Okay?
Objection, Your Honor. Again, there's a narrative. I'd move to strike and counsel and ask that he ask a question.
Yeah.
I'll ask him.
It is sustained. And Mr. Pryor, please refrain from that as just questions.
All right. So 7/21 of 2019, and you, my notes seem to indicate that you said that was a short time after Lori Vallow and Alex Cox murdered Charles Vallow. Is that fair?
Yes, that would have been approximately 10 days after Charles's death.
Okay. And prior to Lori Vallow moving to Idaho, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So you know from the facts, and you familiarized yourself with the Charles Vallow case, right?
That's correct.
And you know from the facts that at the time Charles Vallow was murdered, Lori Vallow was there, wasn't she?
At approximately the same time. I don't know the exact timing. I know she left
right at
a certain point, but I don't know exactly the time frame, yes.
Well, you know that after the murder, that Lori Vallow was interviewed in front of the house right after the murder.
That's correct, yes.
You also know that she left a little bit of time because prior to the murder, Tylee Ryan was present, and so was J.J. Vallow at the time, or at around the circumstances relating to the murder of Charles Vallow, correct?
Correct.
So it seems then that at least Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow would have knowledge, or at least information, as it relates to the murder of Charles Vallow. Would that seem logical?
Yes, it would.
Okay. So if someone's looking and realizing that they're children witnessed the murder of their father by their own brother, that's a motive for a number of things, right?
I suppose.
Okay. It's also a motive on 7/21 of 2019 to come up with a reason to get rid of a child if that child witnessed the murder of their stepfather, correct?
Potentially.
Okay. Potentially?
I don't know if they saw that. I believe that Lori and the children left. If I understand right, there's a bit of discrepancy about if the kids were actually there
right to
witness the shooting, but I thought that they left prior to the actual shooting.
Well, you
but they listened to there was an argument, yes.
And there's a discussion because part of the FBI and the officers down there interviewed witnesses who suggested both sides of that issue, correct?
Correct. I don't know if we know. I mean, Tylee obviously isn't here to ask, so we're not sure what exactly she saw at the time. Yeah.
So we don't know what JJ saw. We don't know what Tylee saw because the evidence goes both ways in terms of what exactly did they see in regards to the murder of Charles Vallow, right?
I believe Tylee was interviewed, and I don't recall what her interview stated.
Okay.
But I don't remember about JJ.
Okay. But you also know that one of Tylee's very close friends was interviewed and provided information about what Tylee said as well, right?
I don't remember that, but that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. So then that's why there's some discussion, because we don't know exactly where Tylee was when Dalex Cox murdered Charles Vallow, right?
Correct.
Okay. So Lori Vallow, before she comes to Idaho on 7/21 of 2019, searches a life insurance policy for her children.
Okay.
Now, there's no equal discussion I didn't see it, and I went looked at the stuff. I didn't see anything where Chad Daybell talked about life insurance for the children. He didn't, did he?
No, sir.
And there's no email or search on Let's Kill Two Kids, right, by Chad Daybell?
No.
Okay. And would you agree with me that part of the rationale of bringing up Hiplos and James and Elena is because of the religious connotation, right?
Not necessarily the religious connotation. It just provides some context in other evidence because of the aliases. And it gets complicated with the names that they call each other.
Right.
So to see that they're being searched by these individuals and to provide context for later of where these names are coming from.
Okay. Now, so we have some references to religion, calling each other religious names. And you're aware that both of these folks have strong religious beliefs.
Yes, sir.
And you're aware Melanie Gibb has strong religious beliefs.
Yes, sir.
David Warwick has strong religious beliefs.
Yes, sir.
Zaluma Pastenis, Alex's wife, strong religious beliefs.
Yes.
In fact, the circle of all these people, there's repeated references to religion, right?
Absolutely.
Strong references to religion.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess what I'm kind of wondering, is it a bigger motive to kill two kids by their mother and brother to cover up the murder of a fourth husband? Or is it because they killed the kids because Chad, Lori, Melanie Gibb, and David Warwick, and Zaluma Pastenez have strong religious beliefs? Which one is a greater motive to murder children?
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative.
Sustained.
Yeah. 9:30 of 2019. How to get the back seat out of a Jeep. And that's Lori Vallow, right?
Yes, sir.
There's nothing about Chad Daybell trying to figure out how to get the back seat out of a Jeep, right?
No, sir.
And I guess if a girlfriend asks you to help me get a tire because somebody wants to use the Jeep, that would explain why Chad was helping his girlfriend load and unload a tire, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Gilbert, Arizona News on the day that Brandon Boudreau, and you've previously testified that Brandon Boudreau, Chad Daybell is not criminally implicated in anything with Brandon Boudreau, correct?
He's not being charged, correct, sir.
He's what?
He's not being charged.
Right, not being charged, not being pursued for anything, for any reason. But
objection, Your Honor. That misstates the testimony.
Sustained. And again, counsel, try to let the witness finish her response before you get into another question, please.
Your Honor, and I would move to strike counsel's last statement.
I'll strike that. I'll instruct the jurors not to consider that last statement.
Okay. So your comment is Chad Daybell has not been charged. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Did you see a likewise Google search on Chad Daybell's Google account that talked about Gilbert, Arizona on that day?
Not that I recall.
Okay. And then you're aware that that on 10/22 of 2019, are you aware that Lori Vallow was in Hawaii by herself with a friend?
Yes.
And you were aware that her friend was Audrey?
Yes, Audrey and maybe Melanie Boudreau. I know there was some shuffling there, but I don't remember the exact time frame, but
right.
Yes.
But they were, about 10/22 of 2019, Lori Vallow and a couple of friends went to Hawaii, and I believe they were in Kauai, I remember. Is that fair?
I don't remember what island, but yes, that sounds fair.
But you know the purpose of them being there was to start the process of getting a wedding dress for Audrey Boudreau, right?
I do not know that, no, sir.
Okay. But you know the three of them were there, right?
Yes.
Okay. You just don't know why they were there and what they were doing there on that day, right?
Yeah, it seemed like kind of a spontaneous...
So if Audrey Boudreau was looking for a wedding dress on 10/22 of 2009...
Your Honor, objection. Counsel's stating facts, not in evidence.
Yeah, there's no Audrey Boudreau, Mr. Pryor.
I'm sorry, Judge?
Audrey Boudreau.
Baratori, Judge. I'm sorry. I said Boudreau. It's Baratori. I got the name wrong.
No.
Is that the correct name?
Audrey Baratiero or Melanie Boudreau. Yeah.
I got them backwards.
They both were in Hawaii, but yeah, I'm not sure which one you were.
With her.
Correct. I think some of them overlapped, but at different times. I don't know on 10/22 exactly off the top of my head now.
Right. And you don't know, and you don't have facts one way or the other as to whether or not on that particular day they were looking for wedding dresses, right?
I don't, other than that search, no.
Okay. Judge, I think that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Blake, redirect.
Thank you, Your Honor. We'll start with the last question. You were asked about Audrey Baratario and searching for wedding dresses. Are you aware if Audrey's married?
At the time, I don't believe she was, no.
Anything in your investigation or records you reviewed that showed she was engaged?
I believe she mentioned, or I don't think she was actually married, no. I'm trying to remember now. I don't think she was.
And you were asked about the attempted shooting of Brandon Boudreau. And I think you indicated Chad has not been charged in that. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
And in relation to Charles Vallow, Chad has not been charged. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Are you still part of any active investigation in those cases?
Am I on to testify in those cases?
Are you assisting in any further investigation, if there is any going on?
No.
And those are being handled by agencies in Arizona, is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
So all you can say right now is that Chad hasn't been charged?
Yeah, I haven't really followed that portion of it, no, other than what was included in this investigation, yes.
You were asked about those Ned Snyder searches.
Are you aware through your investigation who designated Charles as Ned?
Lori calls Charles Ned is the first time where you sort of hear that on the body cam footage. Charles is relaying that Lori refers to him as Ned. I don't know where that name comes from, no. I don't know if she brought it up or if Chad gave her that name. I don't know how that worked.
And the searches from Chad were being done around the same time Charles is reporting that Lori's calling him Ned Schneider.
It's around the same time, yes.
You were asked about the potential for someone else to use Chad's email to do some searches.
Potentially, yes.
Did you find any searches in related to that email, to Chad's email, regarding divorce or separation?
Not that I recall.
You were also asked about people changing phone numbers to hide an affair.
Yes.
Are there, in your experience, do people involved in criminal activity also switch phone numbers?
Yes.
And then there was some talk about Melanie. Actually, let me back up. There was some extensive discussion regarding the killing of Charles Vallow and where JJ and Tylee were. Do you know where they were at the time Charles was actually shot?
I don't believe they were there. I believe the report said that Lori took the children to, I think they went to Burger King or something. But I don't know if that was corroborated or not.
And we talked about the phone attribution earlier. And with one of Chad's numbers, you'd made reference to attributing that number to him in part because of a mortuary call. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And that call to the mortuary, do you recall what day that took place?
I believe it was July 11th, 2019.
And when was Charles killed?
The same day.
And do you know where the mortuary was located that he placed that call to?
In Arizona, but I don't remember which city.
And Charles was killed in Arizona?
That's correct.
Then you were asked quite a bit about Melanie Gibb and David Warwick. Their names came up at least. Is that fair?
Yes.
Did Melanie, through your investigation, did you determine whether or was there anything to indicate Melanie Gibb or David Warwick profited from JJ's death?
Judge, objection. Goes beyond the scope.
Overruled.
I did not learn of anything why they would benefit from JJ's death, no.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
All right. I don't believe that opened any doors for additional recross. Did you have anything, Mr. Pryor?
Judge, I would have a couple subjects, but if the court's determination is that there's nothing open for recross, I'll defer to the court's wisdom.
All right. That'll conclude then the testimony of this witness. Tactical Agent Heidemann, you are done testifying. Is this witness going to be recalled, do you believe?
She is going to be recalled by the state. I'm not sure if she's being recalled by the defense.
Not by the defense, Judge.
Okay. Since you are going to be recalled, I'll just remind you there is an exclusionary order in place. You're not permitted to discuss your testimony or review the testimony of other witnesses in the case in between now and the time that you're recalled. If you don't comply with that order, you may be prohibited from further testimony. So please comply with that.
Sure.
All right. You can go ahead and step down then, and I'll inquire of the state momentarily as to who they will be calling as their next witness. All right, who will the state call next?
And thank you, Your Honor. I'm just looking at the time. I think it's about 15 minutes to 10. The next witness, I believe, will be on the stand for quite some time. I'm not sure if the court would like to take a break now or how soon you wanted to take the mid-morning break.
My preference is to probably get started with this witness, if they're a longer witness anyway, and then go for maybe another 30 minutes.
So trying to take a break at about 10:15?
I think so.
I will try to keep an eye on the clock for that. The next witness is Detective Duncan.
Okay. Go ahead and call your witness then.
Officer, or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help.
All right. The court will note that the witness, Detective Duncan, has been placed under oath. I am going to inquire as to whether or not you have viewed any of these trial proceedings because it is being live streamed. Have you listened in on any of the testimony that's been provided in trial since the case started?
I have not.
All right. Thank you for that affirmation. With that, Ms. Blake, you can go ahead and inquire on direct if you'd like.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please spell your name for the record?
Good morning. My name is Nathan Duncan. It's N-A-T-H-A-N. Last is Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N.
Where are you currently employed?
I'm currently employed with the Chandler Police Department in Chandler, Arizona.
What is your current title and or position?
I'm currently assigned to the Robbery Homicide Unit as a detective.
How long have you been with that unit?
Robbery Homicide Unit, I've been there for 10 years.
Have you held other positions within the Chandler Police Department?
I have. I was hired with Chandler Police Department in year 2000, June of 2000, went to the academy, graduated in September. After graduating from the academy, I was a patrol officer for roughly 3 years. And after that, I went to the property crimes unit as a detective for approximately 11 years.
Do you have any specialized training in order to be a law enforcement officer?
So our training, like I stated, in June of 2000, we attend the Arizona Law Enforcement Academy as a program. I believe it was 16 weeks. And then afterwards, we attend a field training program with our own department. After that, every year, for the last 20, almost 24 years, we go through advanced officer training, and we also do additional training in our specific area of expertise, if you would.
And were you working with the Chandler Police Department on July 11th of 2019?
I was.
Do you recall if you were on shift?
I was, yes.
And do you recall responding out to a report of a shooting?
Yes.
Do you recall where that was?
Report of the shooting on July 11, 2019, happened at about 8:36 a.m. at the address of 5531 South Four Peaks Place in Chandler.
And you said the call came in about 8:36 a.m.?
Correct.
Were you one of the first responding law enforcement?
I was not.
Do you recall approximately when you responded out?
I would have arrived probably 20, 30 minutes after that original call.
When a call comes in of a shooting, who goes out first? Is it a patrol officer, a detective? Can you talk a little bit about that process?
So the immediate response to a call for service, in this case, a 911 call, a patrol officer will respond, or multiple patrol officers will respond for that call of service. They will get there, triage the situation, assist in any way they can, and then determine what they have. If additional resources are needed or investigative resources are needed from detectives, then detectives will be called in.
And in this case, did you learn who made that 911 call?
I did.
And who was that?
Alex Cox.
Did you learn what was reported?
Yes. Alex had contacted 911 and reported that he had shot his brother-in-law, Charles Vallow, in self-defense.
Prior to that, had you ever heard the name Charles Vallow?
I had not.
Had you ever heard the name Alex Cox?
I had not.
When you arrived on scene, were you given specific assignments?
Yes. In homicide investigations, we were given assignments. The case agent in this case was Detective Nathan Moffitt, and he will assign tasks, if you would. In this particular case, I was assigned along with Detective Coons to document the crime scene.
And I think you've said, and that's common in a homicide investigation.
Yes, there are many multiple parts that go into a homicide investigation, interviews, scene processing. So we have a team of six at that particular unit, so we will divide up tasks.
At some point, did your role within the investigation change?
It did.
And can you talk a little bit about that?
So with the promotion of Detective Moffitt in June of 2020, I was assigned to be the case agent in the death of Charles Vallow in June of 2020. However, I had done work prior to this date on this case.
And backing up to that July 11th, you're one of the scene detectives.
Yes.
Can you walk us through what you observed when you got there?
So as our job as a scene detective, we are there to document the scene. And we are assisted by crime scene technicians in this effort. So our first move that we'll make is we'll have the patrol officers who are present, who can provide some of the information to us as to what took place, give us a briefing. From that point, one of our crime scene technicians will enter and take overall photographs. And during this time, we will make observations of our own. The crime scene in this case was very simple relative to other crime scenes. The residence on Four Peaks Place, single-family residence, you enter the residence through a front door on the west of the residence. As you enter, you come into a small foyer, And then it opens up into a large living room. This one was unique in which there was a wood plank floor. There was no furniture in this living room. It was there was mirrors along the north side, an open window along the east side, mirrors on the wall on the south side, and mirrors on the wall on the west side. So as indicated, it was very sparse. There was no furniture at all. Inside, when making my observations, I noticed the body of a Caucasian male, later identified to be Charles Vallow, laying on the west side of this room. North of where he was laying, there was an aluminum baseball bat. And then a little bit north of this was a baseball cap that we had found out was worn by Charles earlier. To the west of Charles' body, there were two .45 caliber casings that were recovered. Also noted during this time was a bullet strike and a lodged bullet, or what we refer to as a projectile, that had lodged into the baseboard along the east side of that particular room.
And as you walk in, that's your initial scene observation?
Yes.
As part of the scene detective, or just as part of the investigation, did you make observations regarding the body of Charles Vallow?
I did.
And I guess to back up a little bit, are you aware as to Charles' condition when first responding officers arrived?
When first responding officers arrived, he was pronounced dead by the Chandler Fire Department.
So upon your arrival, he'd already been pronounced dead?
That is correct.
Do you know if prior to your arrival there were any life-saving measures taken?
There were reports in the that Alex Cox had done CPR, and there was also indications, evidence left behind that the fire department had placed EKG or AED pads on Charles to determine whether life-saving efforts were needed.
And you said it was reported that Alex had done CPR. Did you observe any signs that would support CPR having been performed?
So in examining, looking at Charles' body and the position that it was found, his head was to the north and his feet were to the south and his arms were to his side. I did see one wound consistent with a bullet wound in the front lower left quadrant of his torso. And that's the only wound that I noticed at the time. His shirt was cut open. He had a black T-shirt on. It was cut open by fire department. And as indicated, AED pads and EKG leads were put on for medical intervention. I did notice a lot of blood that was present on the floor or surrounding his body. Did not notice a lot of blood, which, in my opinion, having given CPR and having been shot multiple times, I believe there should have been more blood.
And in relation to the CPR, had it been performed, you would have expected to see more blood?
I would have expected that, yes.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.